Our second item here, which we have before us, which is 888.
Amend towing code to allow immobilization of vehicles to give owners an opportunity to pay outstanding parking fines before a tow.
So we're going from mobility to immobility in one afternoon. Commissioner Novick.
Colleagues, what I'm asking for today is for council to give PBOT the authority to boot instead of tow. The city made a decision, I think it was in 1987, that we would not boot, we would only tow, based on the idea that when you boot, you're taking a parking space out of commission for a certain period of time. I would like to reverse that decision, largely because a towing fee, which contractually is $168, is, to me, an unnecessary penalty that we impose on everybody whose car we tow, which obviously is particularly burdensome for people with low incomes. I've said before that ideally, I'd love to have a system for traffic fines like Finland does, where the penalty you pay is related to your income, because a $100 penalty can be no deterrent at all to a rich person and a crushing blow to a poor person. Unfortunately, unlike in Finland, our parking enforcement officers and our police don't have immediate access to people's tax returns. So it is not practical to have penalties that directly correlate to people's income. But we can avoid imposing unnecessary penalties. And I think that the towing charge is an unnecessary penalty because if people's cars are booted, if they can, they are going to take the action necessary to pay their fines and get their car free. It's also more humane to boot rather than tow, because at least if your car is booted, it's there, and you can go and get your essential belongings out of it, et cetera, rather than wait until you catch a cab or something out to the towing place. So booting gives people an opportunity to pay their overdue parking citations and before incurring additional towing and vehicle storage fees. Folks will have the option to see a judge, pay off their overdue citations, or set up a payment plan with a court before access to their vehicle is taken away entirely and more fees are imposed. And we've got Dave Benson here, who's been working with the court to determine what PBOT can do, you know, consistent with what they can do with us, and they're here to answer any questions, give more information.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Dave Benson. I'm the Parking Group Manager at the Bureau of Transportation. I'm going to echo just briefly what Commissioner Novick said. I'm here today with my colleague, Donald Hunter, from the Parking Enforcement Division, to request that you amend city code to authorize police officers, parking enforcement officers, and others authorized by council to immobilize vehicles, more commonly known as booting, in addition to the authority we already have to tow a vehicle. This ordinance also makes some minor changes in code language to reflect our current situation in 2016. As you know, a judge can sign a warrant to seize a vehicle for unpaid parking tickets when the vehicle has six or more delinquent citation and or owes more than $500 in parking fines. Adding booting to the parking enforcement toolkit has a number of advantages. First, as Commissioner Novick noted, there's approximately $170 fee to tow the vehicle, and if the owner doesn't retrieve their vehicle in 4 hours or less, they're charged with another $25 storage charge. So in addition to the fees they owe, there's an additional $200 charge, and as Commissioner Novick noted, they're deprived of all their property inside the vehicle. By having the option to boot a vehicle for up to 36 hours, it gives the owner the opportunity to retrieve their personal possessions, pay their delinquent parking tickets, or set up a payment plan with the court. Afterwards, we'll come out and remove the boot and release the vehicle back to them without an additional inconvenience or additional expense, which is especially attractive for those persons with limited incomes. And Donald will talk about the procedure.
And I'm Donald Hunter, Parking Enforcement. So we will only boot vehicles Monday through Thursday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And the length of the time the boot will be on the vehicle is 36 hours. The reason why we won't boot on Friday is we're giving the citizen 36 hours to make contact with the courthouse, and the courthouse is closed over the weekend. When an officer locates a vehicle that appears to be a tag warrant, our dispatchers will contact the courthouse to confirm that it is a valid tag warrant. If it is a valid tag warrant, parking enforcement would boot the vehicle, leaving a warning sticker, on the vehicle. The warning sticker informs the citizen that the vehicle has been immobilized and do not attempt to drive. It also provides information on how to have the boot removed by contacting the courthouse. Our dispatchers will inform the courthouse that we have immobilized the vehicle and provide the courthouse with the location of the vehicle. We will give the owner of the vehicle 36 hours to make contact with the courthouse to pay their outstanding citations or make payments arrangements with the courthouse. Once the citizen goes to the courthouse and pay or make arrangements, the courthouse will contact our dispatchers and to inform them that the vehicle is okay to be released. We would then dispatch one of our officers to the location and to release the vehicle within 1 hour after the courthouse informs parking enforcement. If the owner does not make contact with the courthouse to pay the bail amount, after 36 hours, parking enforcement would unboot the vehicle and have it towed. And what I'd like to show you now, we have two different types of boots that we have in place. We have a smaller boot for smaller vehicles, and this is just an illustration of how the smaller boot works. And it's pretty quick and simple. The next video is the larger boot for larger vehicles.
That's the end of our presentation. If you have any questions.
What happens if you are preoccupied and you don't notice that you've got a boot on your car and you try to drive it?
It's going to damage the vehicle. It's going to damage, probably just flatten the tire. And there's that sign. This is going to be on the driver's side driver's window. So when they go to open the car door, they're not going to miss that.
It's stuck on the window?
Stuck on the window. It's so sticky.
It wouldn't wash off if it was raining?
No, we talked about that. No, we're told it will not, and we're testing that right now.
What's the profile right now of the person that has six or more parking tickets and for whom a warrant is issued?
Profile?
So just give us some numbers. How often does that happen annually?
Well, we tow about 5 cars a day. There are 4,764 license plates or vehicles that are delinquent right now in the city of Portland that have 6 or more tickets or $500 or more dollars in fines.
How many was it?
4,764.
Wow. And do we collect any data on who those people are?
No, we don't. We haven't run the registrations to find out. I mean, the court knows who they are by virtue of the registration. They've been notified by the court. The state of Oregon Department of Revenue attempts to contact them to collect the fines, but I don't have the demographics.
All right. Well, if equity is in part a goal here, how do we know these are not just irresponsible people that just don't pay fines versus people for whom paying parking or paying the fine is going to be a hardship?
We don't know that.
Well, we currently, for a tag warrant from parking citations, it's a tag warrant, and we tow the vehicle, which adds another $168 for the tow plus $25 if they don't retrieve it after four hours.
Are we charging someone for the additional 36 hours that they're parked?
No.
No, there's no booting charge, no boot removal charge.
No other citations either.
And in other cities that have done this, like New York let's take a peer city, what lessons have you learned from their experience?
Well, I can tell you about Philadelphia. They, the study some years old, but they found their collection rate more than doubled because of the visibility of the boot sends a message. Now, right now we tow a car, the car just simply disappears. Tow truck comes along, takes car away, and nobody knows what's going on. Where in the case of a boot, it's something that walking down the street you may see, and what they found is their compliance more than doubled.
Among people who had been booted or not yet booted.
Or not yet booted, that okay. Saying to themselves, maybe I should go to the court and take care of this.
Okay.
That's encouraging. And I also think one of the things that's compelling about this is that someone may have something in their trunk they need. It could be medication. It could
exactly.
be identification. I mean, some people put all their safekeeping, they put things in their
right.
trunk.
Laptop. Whatever they need for work.
So that's an additional hardship.
Yes.
Is there a risk that we'll be taking up too many spaces in our inventory?
No, we've only initially purchased about 5 boots because the most we've ever towed in a day is 7. It averages 3 to 5. So we're starting with 5. We're starting very modestly.
And so what's the logic of starting this in Eastmoreland? Why have you chosen that as your first rollout?
It just seemed like the place to go.
No charge for the boot, no charge for the extra time, and so what you're saving is the towing charge.
Correct, for the citizen.
And also, my sense is that when we tow cars, sometimes there's actually some damage to the car that's caused by the towing and the storage.
Possibilities, yeah.
Thank you. Have we had Steve, has anyone weighed in against this?
Not to my knowledge.
I want to just put down one marker, which is I think the equity argument here and the fairness argument is pretty compelling. I don't find those arguments compelling when we're going after DUI and other things and we say that there's a differential ability to pay, because I think there's a huge difference between not paying a fee for parking your car, which we treat as a low-level offense,
right,
for which we get a fine, and engaging in conduct which puts other people's lives at risk. And I have a slightly different analysis of the equity lens piece on people who put other people's lives at risk. So I'm going to support this, but not as a precedent for us to go to all of our fees and schedules and fines and apply the same logic, because I think there are some things where we should treat people the same whether they're rich or poor. If the effect is to tell them they cannot engage in behavior which puts other people's lives at risk.
I mean, here we are continuing to treat people the same, whether they're rich or poor. We're just eliminating what I saw as an unnecessary penalty, which wouldn't particularly bother other than having to go find
right.
your car.
Which disproportionately
hurts
people
right.
of limited means.
Exactly.
I find that, I'm just saying as a preview to other discussions you're teeing up down the road, I find that less compelling in the context of someone engaging in reckless behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Where the fine is deliberately set to both discourage and punish.
Right, although I would say that in defense of the Finns, if you're a multimillionaire, even if you're paying a $5,000 fine for DUI, it's not enough.
Right. I think we should probably start taking the car.
Other questions for either of these great resource people? Thank you both. Anyone want to speak on this item? If not, then it's going to move to second reading next week. Steve, good work on this. I think that's a nice and positive change. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Right, thank
Donald.
You. Thank you both very much. And we are recessed till tomorrow, 2 p.m. That's good work. That's.